This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, joined as always by the conductor of chaos, Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
I'm conducting some damn chaos this week. I'll tell you that. I'm really living up to my claim to fame. I'm doing fantastic now that I'm on the mic with you, Metcalf. We've got the NFL draft tonight, which is very exciting in another sport. And this episode has probably two of the biggest storylines, I would say, in the draft space right now. It's a hot one. It's sizzling. People are buzzing. It's going to be a fun one. Yes, I've got a new setup so everyone can kind of creep on my place, but that's what we're rolling with, baby. So I'm very excited for this one, sir. How are you holding up? I feel like me and you are both having a week, and that's why we come together, is to be better, to improve our life.
Well, you know, weeks happen. Work yeah. Happens, you know, but we got the NFL draft tonight. We get to talk some hoops right now. We have some international prospects in the 2024 draft class coming back to play. Life's good in the grand scheme of things. So I'm excited for this episode. We got a very full slate. So just a little housekeeping up front. If you haven't yet, go over to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code No Ceilings. They've got some awesome offers going on throughout the playoffs. Every sport imaginable, essentially. You can even they even have offerings for international basketball. That's how expansive their offerings are. So support the people who support us. They're awesome. They've been great to work with all season. Promo code No Ceilings, get that deposit match and experience so many of the offerings that they have going on. They have a lot of discounted stuff earlier today too, and they've been doing that throughout the playoffs as well. So again, promo code No Ceilings, Underdog, they're the best. Also, Rucker, you wrote this week, Jalen Tyson. Go check it out, NoCeilings.com.
I mean, back to back, finally doing some work around here. No, I was very, very pumped about writing about Jalen Tyson. He's been a name that I talked about in my piece, like one of those names that just continues to get my attention, and he continues to move up my board. So I was very, very big fan of his game before I wrote that piece, and it's something that we kind of talked about in the last episode. You know, sometimes writing about these guys, you start seeing things in different ways, and still moving him up, still a fan. I think he's going to be a really good good name to watch, because I feel like he could get a lot of buzz throughout this pre-draft process with his versatility. So yes, I wrote another one. And Metcalf, are you on deck?
I am. On Friday, writing about the guy that we're about to talk about right now, Zachary Risacher.
That will be spicy.
Risacher has had a roller coaster of a year. Let's just dive right into it.
Yeah, let's get weird.
Because this time last year, he didn't look like a first rounder necessarily. He followed that, he followed up a lackluster Hoop Summit performance with an even more concerning FIBA U19 World Cup performance. And then he just kind of took the basketball world by storm by being one of the most prolific three-point shooters in the world, when we talk about prospects. Now he's going through a bit of a cold stretch and people are jumping ship. Some of the takes with him have become a bit ridiculous, in my opinion, at least. But where are you at with Richichet, or where do you want to start with him?
It's tough because it's almost presented. It's like I'm going to struggle to find the words because we've even prepped this earlier than we ever have. I feel like when it came to a topic, we were like, yes, we need to talk about Zach. We need to talk about Topic. It's a hot topic. And I was like, I don't know how to phrase it the right way. So everyone buckle up. So we saw him at Hoop Summit drink. We had a lot of, he was buzzing then about the next international guy after Victor. It was like, okay, Richichet should be in the conversation near the top. And we saw a timid player that week throughout practices. We all had a lot of questions there. In the game, he looked much better. Then he goes and plays at JL Borg this year for a new team after playing with Asvel. Looked completely different. Just like mindset, aggressiveness, mentality on the court. We were like, where is this coming from? Like, and he's really impressed me throughout the year. And then he's had this cold spell, which has been, I mean, as Metcalf pointed out to start, like he was lighting the net on fire from deep. And everyone's like, is this consistent? Is this a legit thing? And then you keep going throughout the year and the sample size big enough, you're like, okay, you know, this has got something. And he's hit just a brutal rough stretch. Now, me personally, I've always said, every prospect's going to have a hot stretch. Every prospect's going to have a cold stretch. I do not overreact from one cold stretch because they happen. It's basketball. These guys are human beings. I'm going to take in the whole evaluation of a year. That being said, I've watched his cold spell games, and I don't know how you feel, Metcalf, but it's not that, like, the shots, there's a lot of good shots. They're just not going in. And it's not like he's missing left and right, missing bad, like in and out, a lot of in and outs. I like some of the takes he's had. They've been aggressive in and out. Like, you know, obviously there's some decision-making where he's forcing the issue, but I even texted you. I was like, I feel like he's playing super sped up lately. Like it's almost with me. And I don't know if I'm just my eye and I need to go back and rewatch more stuff. And I tried to, but I feel like his shot is rushed right now. Like it's not the smooth follow through all the way. I feel like it's got a little bit of a jerk neck, if you want to put it that way. I don't know. Where are you at? I'm still believing.
Yeah.
I'm not moving him into my lottery, like late lottery. I'm not that guy. I'm still having him in my top 10. I just think maybe we're getting away from the number one pick conversation.
Yeah. So one of the more frustrating aspects for me with the kind of discourse around him right now is the recency bias with it, because I think it's really easy to forget how much bigger his sample size is right now than every college player.
So
he's played 54 games. That's almost double what most of these college kids have played.
Yep.
So someone that age playing in a pro league across multiple competitions, getting starters minutes across 54 games, it's not shocking if fatigue is setting in. It's not shocking that he's going through a cold stretch. But over his last 16 games, solid sample size, he hasn't been able to shoot. He's shooting 22.2% on 4.2 attempts per game. This is all from three on 63 total three-pointers. Solid sample size, concerning. The previous 38 games, 47.5% from three on 122 attempts, about 3.2 a game. So which is it? And I think where I tend to lean towards is that it's neither one or the other. It's like most things, somewhere in between. It's somewhere in the middle. And it's probably right around that 39% that he's been on the year. I think the sample size with him is so big and so encompassing that, yeah, we never thought that he was going to be a 47% three-point shooter. But I also don't think he's as bad as this current cold stretch is indicating either, because kind of like you mentioned, the shot attempts, they're not bad looks. I don't really have an issue with his mechanics. They're a little funky. It's a little quick, but his release has been super quick all year. I think he's starting to kind of fall out of his shot a little more now than he was at the beginning of the year. But some of the difficulty in the shots that he's taking, it's shots that you would expect a legit NBA guy, to off-ball shooter, to be taking at the next level. He's not just standing still, launching up, you know, exclusively corner threes. There's some range on it. There's some pull-up stuff where he's like attacking a closeout and then hitting a step back. So I think he's just going through a cold stretch. And I think that when we think about him as a shooter, the high 40% was never what he was going to be.
Right, right.
It was that was an outlier. But I also think that I don't think he's going to be a 20% three-point shooter either. I think if he's probably going to be league average-ish for most of his career as a three-point shooter, and I think that's going to be good enough when you then factor in what he does in transition and especially on the defensive end.
I mean, I'm going off of real GM, but last year for Azvel, he played 50 games total, but only 16.3 minutes a game, shot around 30% from downtown. He's at 54 on 22.8 minutes this year. That's a big jump. I know people don't think that's a big jump. That is a big jump for someone that young to be all of a sudden you're playing extended minutes, way more games. I mean, I know four more games, but season's still going for them. So I think, you know, even seeing him back in Portland, I thought he had a good looking shot. And it just seems like now there's been an emphasis to speed it up. I like the looks he's getting. I'm right there with you. I mean, we're talking about a terrible shooting spell right now.
Yeah.
Still at 38%. Like, that's how ridiculous this year has been for him. And, you know, I'm right there with you. I think that's just a cold spell. But at this point, I'm watching, like, how is he playing when the shot's not falling? There's still good defensive stuff. There's still high effort, high intensity. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, you know, I get it. He's having a cold stretch. Like, we're all going to take notice. But time of the year is very important right now. We have nothing to talk about. So everyone's focusing on the guys that are playing right now because NCAA is done. Guys are getting ready for the pre-draft. So I think it's a tough time for Risha Shea to be struggling because everyone is zeroing in on it.
He's the only guy playing.
Exactly. Him and Topic. And I would still be buying. I still would be. And it's not because of the recent stretch. It's just because of the growth he took this year in terms of his playing style. Like, I did not see this player in Portland. I turned to you guys and I was like, I might take him late first at this point, like as a flyer. And this type of player, I would still take in the lottery because of the off-ball stuff defensively, the basketball IQ, and just the shift in development. He's like now on a different path that we weren't even in the same area before, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, no, it does. And that, you know, when we evaluate all these guys, it's so important to kind of figure out who they are now and what are they going to be going forward and what are they going to be asked to do. And one of the things that I keep, you know, aside from the skepticism of the shooting, one of the things I keep seeing pop up is, oh, he's not an on-ball creator. He's not an on-ball guy. It's like, no one in this class is. Show me the wing in this class that can create their own shot consistently. Show me the wing. He's a guard. But like, there aren't on-ball scorers who are wings this year. All these guys have flashes of doing it, whether it's, you know, Risha Shea or Cody or...
I guess you could probably argue Dalton, but...
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. That's why this year's so crazy.
So when we evaluate him and it's like, oh, well, he's not an on-ball guy. It's like, okay, but he's also like no one in this class is. And if we're only evaluating him for a role that he's never going to be asked to do, what's the value in that? Why not instead look at, okay, he's going to be more of a 3-and-D guy. Is that number one pick worthy? No. And I think that's what we're really finding out with him these last couple months is that, okay, when he was shooting like that, it was really easy to get infatuated with it, to fall in love with all of it because he was shooting at an astronomical rate. And it looked like, okay, this, if he's shooting that way and defending that way, a top two top three pick makes a lot of sense for that guy, because as we're seeing in the playoffs, that's how valuable wings are. But now we're seeing the shooting tail off. We're seeing the on-ball creation disappear even a little more. So it's like, okay, well, he's not a number one guy now. But if you can get a really high-level versatile defender in the mid to late lottery, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's when you kind of approach it with through the lens of, okay, what is he going to be in the NBA? And look at what he does well. It's still really important skills that are more than worthy of a top 10 to 14 pick, in my opinion.
Yeah. You're hitting the right buttons, because I've had a little bit of a hot take, and I don't know where to run with it. I was going to write about it, but I don't know. So here we go. We're looking at this class the wrong way. We can't try to make these guys what they aren't. Like, everyone looks at a guy and they're like, well, he can't create. Yes. If you're trying to find the full package in this class, you're not going to find him. You're not going to get the creating freshman or 18-year-old that can shoot from outside, that's consistent defensively. Everyone has their warts this year. Like, that's why it's such a crazy year. That's why everyone's down on it. You have to evaluate these guys for what they can do and figure out, is this something that's going to work at the next level? Like, their strengths, is it going to work as an NBA player, their NBA skill set? We know Zachary's not a full what we dream of in a wing, but if the outside shots can be consistent, if he plays good defense, if he's got a good basketball IQ, if he's checking the necessary boxes at potentially 6'9" with the upside to create some stuff, that's why, like, okay, then buy in on that. Like, if you're going to look at him and say, well, he's not this guy from a previous class, you're right. 100% right. But you can't, that's why I've always said, and I'm not trying to be a buzzkill, but it's like, we can't compare this class to other classes.
Yeah.
Because you're going to constantly be down. You're going to be like, he's not this guy. Absolutely. So this is the class. Focus on this class. And I don't mean to try to sound harsh, but I think that's where it can get easier, when you're like, I can't look back at last year and be like, well, he's not Brandon Miller, because it's, yeah, no shit. But this class, this is the toys we have in the shed. You got to figure out which one is your top five, or who do you like, and what you can work with. So it's a really tough one, because I always, myself, I like to compare it to previous prospects, like, and go from there. But
it's hard not to.
It's really hard not to, because that's what we do. We all like to talk about pro comps. We all like to kind of get a vibe for someone. But I think this year you have to get even more creative and just be like, I can't do it. I got to just look at what's ahead of me and try to figure it out. It's been a chaotic year, and it's really fun. And that's why I'm with you. I still think Zach's a top 10 guy, because of what he can bring to the table if you're buying the shot being consistent.
Completely agree.
Harsh? Yeah. I mean, you could tell me I'm a jerk, but that's...
Because if we keep looking at this draft and hoping for one of these guys to turn into something that they're just not, and it's going to be impossible to not be disappointed. And there just isn't star power in this draft. There isn't that franchise cornerstone, but there's a lot of really good role players. There are a lot of guys who are going to be good starters. There are going to be a lot of guys who contribute to winning basketball, and there's always value to be had. You just have to find it, and you have to look at these guys through the proper lens. And when you don't, when you try and look at them as, all right, who's going to be the all NBA guy, you're probably going to miss out pretty significantly. And I think with Reese O'Shea, he's one of these guys where if you're looking at him to be one of these dynamic all NBA wings, or for him to eventually grow into that, you're going to miss. He's not going to be that. But if you're looking at him to be like a 6'7" version of Nickeil Alexander-Walker, or Dorian Finney-Smith, or, you know, one of these play finishing wings who are more focused on defense, who can defend anyone on the perimeter, who can get out and run in transition, who can be that reliable play finisher, then it's like, okay, cool. I found a guy that I'm going to be able to plug into my rotation pretty early. And maybe a year or two from now, he's breaking into the starting lineup.
I agree. You're going to the bakery this year to get a piece of the cake. you ain't getting the whole cake. So, and like fans in the comments are saying, you know, this is a draft of 2 and 3s or 3 and 4s. Absolutely. Like yeah. you're getting a piece of the puzzle. That's why I'm saying this is a draft to get depth. You're getting the guy alongside, hopefully, your team's guy that's just helping him out with what he can do on the court. And that's why I think when fans start seeing it that way, it sucks. It sucks to be like, hey, don't look at, you know, last year and dream of, you know, a Brandon Miller or someone like that, or your previous drafts of Franz Wagner and stuff like that. I think this is the year you got to just be like, okay, we're getting someone to help this team take the next step forward. And I still believe Zachary could be that guy.
Absolutely. And I think another guy who could fit that bill is Nikola Topic.
Great transition. Fantastic transition. But
let's take a quick ad break. Okay, Rucker. Nikola Topic has been a fascinating discussion point, let's say, all season and in the No Ceilings chat.
Yes, he has.
Very polarizing. Made the, you know, he got called up to Red Star back right around the turn of the year. Got injured after 3 games. Just made his return the other day. And I was really impressed with him coming back. I thought he looked really good. He's slowly winning me over. Where do you want to start with him?
I want to start with that last part. People don't realize how hard it's been to get Metcalf to say positive stuff about Topic. And it's not, you just had, I'll be there with you. We have had detailed discussions about the questions we've had about him throughout the year. But man, did he look good in that last game? And I know everyone's gonna look at stats and what, but I'm just saying from a difference from what I've seen before early in the year, he looked very, very good. I was very impressed. I was like, oh, buddy, we are cooking now. What stood out to you? Like, I mean, what, how long did it, like, what did he do that kind of got you in? Like, okay, like, you know, when you get on the edge of your seat, when you're evaluating someone, you're like, okay, I'm in for, buckle up, like fasten your seatbelts. Like what got you there?
The different roles he was playing, mm-hmm. Where he played a lot off ball and we didn't see him do that at all with Mega. It was 1,000% on ball. I'm going to dictate the pace. I'm going to dictate every shot selection that the team gets. And in some realm, that's awesome. You'd love for a player to have that feel, that command of an offense. But it's like, you're not going to be able to do that right away in the NBA. Like, that's just not who he necessarily is as a prospect. At least I don't think he's at that level where, you know, when we're talking that level, we're talking guys like Luka Doncic. And, I don't think that's disrespectful to say. But in this game, he was playing off ball more. One of his threes came off the catch. He was cutting a little more. His team defense was better. It was just him doing a lot more of the little things that we haven't necessarily seen from him. And then he brought out the incredible playmaking that we've seen all year from him. So I still question, you know, how is he going to score consistently? But now it's more so, does it matter?
It's been fun to kind of see the reactions. You posted a great little edit on social, on Twitter, about kind of the game cut-ups. I went back and watched. He didn't look like a guy that missed a bunch of time.
No.
He looked like a guy that's been with that team for 3 years, and he just looked really, like, calm and cool. And
he, I don't think he looked that way in his first 3 games with them.
No, he looked like a guy that got called up.
Yeah.
And this game, he looked like a guy who's like, I've been here forever. And hey, he's practicing. He's getting familiar with the team. He's probably been grinding. But it's something different to your first game back thrown into the action. He just looked very smooth and comfortable. And some of the passes he threw, I mean, all year he's been throwing passes. You're like, oh, my gosh. But I also felt like he had a little more burst on some of the drives. Like, it just kept popping to me. And it's also funny seeing some fans being like, he's this big. And it's like, yeah, we've been watching Rob Dillingham and Reed Sheppard for the last couple of months. Like, Topic is a big boy. And he had a couple drives blocked but it was the creativity that I was like, whoa, like he tried, I think it was like he went left, had a little bit of a burst, and then tried like an up and under reverse. It was just a great rejection, but I was even like, whoa, okay, like it looked like a problem, and I was like, okay, I'm all in now. I'm watching the rest of these games, and then that's where you get excited to kind of go back and watch. And like you said before, I just never felt when he was playing with Red Star first couple games, just never felt like he was that calm and cool. And now it looked like he was just a veteran out there.
Yeah, and I just, he's going to be the youngest player. I believe he's the youngest player in this draft. If not, he's 18. One of them. Yeah. So, and making that jump to a new team in the middle of the season, to a tougher league, it's incredibly hard for anyone, let alone an 18-year-old. And going into a new team where he's no longer the guy like he was at Mega, where, again, he was dictating every single thing that happened on the offensive end, that's another really hard transition. So for him to now kind of make that transition, play more off ball, be a little more attentive with his off ball defense, be a little more consistent and be a little more effective playing off ball on offense in a 4-game span, coming back from an injury at that higher competition level with this new team that, again, he's played now 4 games with over the last 4 months. It was really hard for me to not be blown away. And, you know, I saw a lot of people being like, oh, ooh, big deal, he scored 8 points. That's not who he is as a player. There's so much more to his game than just the scoring. Yes, I still have concerns about what the shot looks like. I'm not sure I totally buy it, but can he make a couple set shots a game? If a defender goes way under a screen, can he occasionally just pull up and knock down a three? I think so. And with him, I think that's going to be enough. Do I wish he was a super explosive vertical athlete that was finishing above the rim? Of course, but he's not. And he still finds ways to counter that, because his finishing angles are really creative. They're really advanced. He's got really good touch. Yeah, he's not an above the rim finisher, but he's still finishing like 70% at the rim. So again, does it matter? And he's so smart that when those defenders collapse on him, he's going to find open shooters. So I'm just not sure that when I kind of try and figure out what he is or where he should land on my board, ultimately, I'm just not sure that the scoring is really going to influence my evaluation of him so much, because I don't think that's who he's going to ever be in the pros in terms of being that volume scorer like he was at Mega.
I think you're spot on. But this is exactly what we just talked about. Like, we're focusing on what he's not, and it's like the 3-point shot. And it's like, I'm right there with you. I don't think it matters that much. He needs to hit a couple a game to make you respect him, but you're not drafting him to be a 3-point shooter. You're drafting him to be a 6'6", emphasis, playmaking wizard with great feel, can put teammates in the right position, hopefully hits a couple outside shots to give defenses headaches. But like that size, and I had the same concerns with the finishing that you did earlier in the year, and then you start seeing the numbers. He's got touch. He's got creative. He's super good at understanding how to make that guy behind his initial defender react so he can find that angle. Like, he's very, very good. He's a chess player out there. So, like, here's a good question for you, hypothetically, because we're just going to overreact. If you see the same player for the rest of the year that you just saw in that last game, and I could tell you he shoots mid-30s from three, would you take him first?
Probably.
I would, too. Like, that's where I got at that. I was like, shout out to Corey, because he's going to start rolling his eyes when he hears this. But he's been pumping that in. And I'm at that point right now where I'm like, all right, this might be a little late run right here. And that gets you back in the film room, because the questions I've had, he's also put the numbers up to counter that. And, you know, like, if he's that creative with touch around the basket, do I need him to finish above the rim? Like you just said. No, he can produce.
Yeah, and plenty of guys have made very long NBA careers without being high flyers.
Chris Paul, Steve Nash, couple off the head.
Yeah.
They've done well. And they weren't 6'6".
He with Mega, he shot 68% at the rim. That's kind of good.
Pretty good.
It's kind of good. So I don't
know. Did the shot look better to you?
I thought it looked about the same. I don't know.
It just looked smoother. I think it's the confidence. He just looked more of like, I'm shooting it. Like, no hesitation. Yeah. Like, I'm shooting. And that's where I'm like, okay, that's great.
Yeah, because I believe one of them was off the catch. He just let it fly right away. He was open, didn't hesitate. And then I think the other one, defender went way under a screen, and he just kind of took a step back even and just knocked it down really confidently. But it's what did you think of his defense? Because the on-ball stuff was still a travesty. I don't think he's ever gotten around a screen cleanly in his life. But I thought the off-ball stuff was a lot better.
I thought the off-ball was good.
Yeah.
He's still young. I mean, he's 18. Shout out Tankathon. 18.7. He's going to be turning 19 in August. Literally after Summer League. I like to see the development in the off-ball stuff because he's putting himself in the right position. He's recognizing where he should be. Like, there was a really beautiful steal where I was like, that was nice. You understood kind of how to move, rotate with the possession. The on-ball, yeah, I'm there. But, like, again, are we drafting Topić to be an on-ball defender? Are we drafting him to be a 6'6 playmaking guard? Like, no, that's where I'm like...
But can you hide him out there? Can you put him as the low man and be confident that he'll tag the roller and recover, or just not be a total negative? And all season I've been really skeptical about that, but this game was like, oh, look at you getting better. So I don't know.
There's a world. San Antonio, there's a great world, but I know what you mean. Like, you'd have to get creative with him, but I also think just his size and the playmaking, like, those are two humongous, and the feel, those are like all elite NBA skills to really roll with for that position. So that's why I would be like, okay, can he improve off the ball? Is he going to be a target on ball? Maybe early on, most rookies are, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm right there with you, but I think the strengths are starting to really outweigh my concerns.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Anything else on Topić?
Where do you have him?
3. You?
3.
Real original.
I don't like it. Like, I'm saying, I have him at 3 and I want to go up.
Ooh, okay. Do you have Castle and Saar over him? God, real original top 3. Who do you have 4?
You have it too, don't you?
Yeah, I have Castle, Saar, Topić.
Ah, son of a gun. I'm not sleeping well. I they're playing next week, so I'm gonna be watching it probably live. I don't care what time it is.
Look at you.
Yeah,
just dedicated to the craft. Let's move on. We're gonna update the stock game after a quick ad. Okay, Rucker, let's do it. We've been a little behind on this because busy schedules, but NBA stock game or NBA draft stock game, using the kind of industry-wide consensus rankings that Corey publishes about once a month over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. Go check them out. Really interesting stuff over there, but it's for the newly initiated. It's taking the rankings from outlets like ESPN, The Ringer, Bleacher Report, et cetera, compiling them all and forming a big board out of the entire industry-wide rankings. From there, we then give everyone a stock price, and it's all based off of a base price of 100. Then we take their average ranking and divide 100 by that. So if a player was... So, like Alex Saar right now, current ranking consensus ranking of 1.5, which gets him a price of $66.67 per share. Let me pull up the spreadsheet here. I think
maybe... It's fun. The nerds have fun with this one. We have fun with this one. I can't believe how close we are.
There we go.
I'm really proud of myself. Also, I cannot believe I bought Hanson Yang stock. Unbelievable. It's been that long since we did this. This is going to be great. I'm looking at some of these names and I was like, whoa, was I alive when I made this? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there were some choices made.
Oh, you gosh. Yeah, you got some good names too. Okay.
Yeah, so there could be have to be some moves made here since you went first last time.
Yeah, you go.
I'm going first.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Okay. I'm just going to insert. I'm going to take a guy who I would expect to be much higher. I don't believe he's on this list.
Oh, give me a break. You're already finding sleepers?
I'm going Peyton Sanford.
No, he's there. You liar. He's at 61.70. He's at $1.62.
Perfect.
That's a good one.
Equals that. Let's go. I got money to burn. Let's go 100 shares.
Okay. Oh, you have the guy I want. Ooh.
And for those who are new to this, again, we cannot double up. So if I buy someone, that means Rucker can't, and vice versa.
Oh, am I reading this wrong? Am I in the negative?
That's all like potential. The ones on the far right aren't haven't accounted for sales. Okay. So if you're looking for potential profit, look at
okay. So column. I got money. Okay, okay.
Yeah, you have $342.
Where am I at? Okay. I need to get some money. I'm going to sell. He's not getting higher than that. I'm going to sell Dalton Connect.
Okay. You doing all of it?
Yeah. That's a lot of money to come in. If you want to buy it to try to get up higher, then good luck, but.
You already sold Dalton.
What?
Yeah, you already sold
Dalton. Oh, come on. All right.
They're in red.
Right,
if they're in
sorry.
Red, you sold
okay.
them. Oh,
okay.
My goodness.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Amateur
it's
hour.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. Okay. I don't know. Oh, okay. You know what? Fine. I'll sell Dillingham.
Okay.
That's a good profit.
Go equals that. Cool. There we go.
All right. We're cooking now. Gosh, some of these numbers are amazing. It's also amazing how down everyone's been, and Ricochet is still the number two on the consensus board. Gavoni's probably helping that out. Shout out, Jonathan.
Okay. I'm buying again.
Good for you.
I'm going to buy Jamal Shedd.
Would you knock it off with getting the good sleepers?
There he is. Okay. So, I'll probably just go 100-ish again because I have the money. Why not? Cool.
This is brutal because you just have all the good sleepers.
I did that in that update.
Every time I got a guy, I look up at your list, you have him. Uh-oh.
Oh, look at that.
I need some fans to throw out some names. Come on, get in on this. Sleepers. Oh, I got one. Let's do some Mark Sears.
Oh,
yeah.
Good one. He was on my list.
I'll do 100. Still buying Mark Sears. We have a lot of
not on here. Oh my goodness.
I know. We have a lot of room in the fan club for Mark Sears. A lot of people at No Ceilings have rejected applications in the fan club, but we are still accepting applications.
Yeah. He rocks. He's so good.
He's pretty good, and he put up great numbers, and he was efficient. Don't really know what else we need, folks. Yes, he's small. Can we not be height haters? I hate that.
Okay. I'm selling Kwame, seeing that he...
good for him.
Decided
proud,
to.
I'm proud of him. Shout out, Kwame. Proud of you. Probably get another year of some cool Nike apparel. It was the right move. I still would have taken him in the first round.
Same.
I might have spotted one. Oh, gosh, Metcalf has Daron Holmes. Come on, dude.
Yeah, I do.
All right, let me sell some stuff. Oh, gosh, where is he at now? Sell Devin Carter. I had 50 shares.
All of it.
Yeah, sell all of it. I that's a scare. He's at 16. I
don't know that he goes all that much higher.
I think he could get drafted higher. I don't know if he's going to go higher in consensus. Does that make sense? Yeah. I'd take him earlier.
Ooh.
Pumped about it.
Okay. I'm selling Saloon. It'll be interesting to see where he goes.
I showed a fan comment and it was from someone we love, but I'm going to steal it next. Okay. You sold Saloon?
Yeah.
I want 100 shares. Shout out to my guy, Ignacio, Nikola Jurišić, who I cannot wait to dive back into that film because all of a sudden my Serbian prodigy has found the confidence to shoot the ball from deep. This is a dangerous development. If I go back into that film and see some stuff, I'm cooking. I will get the fan club back up. We're still open.
Okay.
I still feel like there's names here that I'm like, why are they not here?
I'm going to sell Reese Shea.
Takes a big man to do that, especially when I know you've been driving that train.
So it's more so just based on
he's not getting higher than that,
right?
Yeah, and if anything, he's going to go down,
right? So almost doubled my money on him. It'll be fascinating to see where he goes, but I think this recent, I would expect the next batch of rankings, he's lower than this, given the shooting struggles.
I think that's a good one. What do I got left?
You got like 1,100.
Okay. I want to buy 50 shares of Cam Spencer. Because I know how the media works after a strong tournament run. Murray Boyle's at 57. Goodness.
Yeah.
I've got him.
That you do. That you do.
Saturday's deadline day. We got an interesting day coming up tomorrow.
Oh, God. Is it already that?
Yep.
It's that early.
Tyshawn officially declared today.
Did he? With intentions of...
Forgoing eligibility.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah, Boogie Ellis or Boogie Fland has committed to Arkansas. Breaking news. Shocker alert.
Yeah.
How about Jalen Wells' portal? Huh? I was a little shocked at that. I thought he could have been a little bit of a late riser.
Okay. So I'm debating selling Castle, but I think there's a real good chance that he goes higher.
It's a tough one. Like that was one of the ones I looked at, and
because
I mean, he's at, oh my gosh, he could creep up. I like, There's a world in which he gets above Ricochet drops. And then I don't think Klingon, I don't think anyone behind him is going to go up until we get to pre-draft buzz. Shout out my dog in the background. Shout out Murphy. I don't know. That's a good one.
Yeah, I got a hold, especially since I doubled up and bought more shares last time. Let's see. Any of these guys sell? Yeah.
Dirty Dancer, Furphy declared, but maintained college eligibility, which was a very interesting wrinkle in the graphic. Gosh, some of those graphic guys, like, I need to give them a hug.
Okay, I'm going to go Trent Flowers.
Oh, I had that on my list. I just watched this film. I really liked it.
I'll go... Let's do 50. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to sell some more. All right, Metcalf. Wooga, get rid of it because he just hit the portal. So I'll just take my lost money. I got a lot of guys I need to get rid of. Furphy making me some money. Good.
Oh boy. That Jacoby one sure sold last time. That's hurting.
Don't love where we're heading there.
Castles. I think Duran's gonna make another big jump.
He is. That's why I was so pissed about where you got him. I think he's gonna get up into the 20 to 30 range. He's at 34 right now. I think he's gonna jump. Edwards needs to. Everyone's gonna wait for pre-draft stuff. It's tough when you get in that section because I see guys like KJ Simpson, Hunter Salas. Like, I could see them climbing, but we need the pre-draft. So it's like you got to gamble on. You haven't become really pisses me off.
Yeah,
that's the golden ticket right there.
I'm gonna go Topic.
Wow, you're really just going in on the high stuff.
Well, I'm just looking at his average ranking of 4.2. I think if he continues kind of playing strong,
I think he'd get to one.
So do I.
Wow.
Let's see, 20. Will that do?
I'll get a little wild. Give me KJ Lewis for 100.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hold up. Sorry. Typo.
That is can't my do
5. Oh man, that's like nothing though. Okay, cool. Is he staying in the draft?
He declared, well, he's testing the waters, but I have a weird
sorry,
feeling.
Sorry, how many shares?
100. I have a weird feeling about how that's going to go. Yeah. I think he will return, but I could see that being a promise attempt.
Wouldn't shock me.
Wouldn't shock me.
We've...
Dude could play.
Heard some good things.
Heard good things. Kid could play.
Cool.
He's very smart to test the waters. Very smart. Yeah,
everyone is. You should always get feedback. Always. Okay. I screwed up some numbers. God dang it. I'll fix this. I'll clean this up next time.
Yeah, we're good.
That's wrong. Okay. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got. I can clean up some guys that have withdrawn and stuff, but I'm good. It's always cool. Fun. Everyone, as Metcalf always points out, like if you're with No Ceilings Plus, we update. We play this in the Discord. We talk about it, have some fun. So, update your rankings. Let us know.
Absolutely. Okay, let's jump over to Rookie Roulette time. Cam Whitmore ended up as number 5 on our final big board. Went 20th. Overall to the Houston Rockets. He was by far the biggest surprise on draft night, the biggest faller And we kind of had heard some rumblings about that going into draft night, but still him falling all the way to 20 was shocking. On the season, averaged 12.3 points, 0.7 assists, 3.8 rebounds, one turnover, shooting splits of 45.4, 35.9, and 67.9. What do you want to start with, Mr. Whitmore?
I'm pumped. I'm always proud. It's always fun to hear where we had him last year. I know we had a lot of fans at No Ceilings of Whitmore. I was in that crowd. I still buy the upside. I still buy the very raw upside. And I honestly thought this was a really good rookie year for him.
Yeah.
Because he went to the G League, was doing some crazy stuff down there. I watched some of his games down there and I was like, this is perfect. Just let him run wild. Let him get cooking with the outside shot. We all said like, hey, he had high flying, powerful maniac who can attack the basket with bad intentions, but we need the outside shot to develop. We need the rest of the stuff to slowly start to come together. And I thought the G League was perfect for a guy like Whitmore. And then, you know, Houston eventually gave him some run. And he had a 14 game stretch where he averaged 15 a game with 4.7 rebounds on 46, 40, 68. So for a player that young, Metcalf, I just think this is a great start. You know, I always, people like to say like him and Jaylen Brown were comparisons, and I don't know if I'm there, but like Jaylen Brown was averaged like four a game his rookie year and took a while to find his groove. And I think he's in a good spot where we're going to see the work ethic. We're going to see what type of player he's ready to become next year. But I think this was a very good rookie season for someone that shouldn't have fallen as low as he did. But yeah, that was why intel is so important, because we heard that and we're like, uh-oh, here we go.
Yeah, and I don't think his... It obviously could have gone better. It can always go better. But I think this was a really great rookie season for him. And I was lucky enough to see him in person a couple times. We saw him in Portland. I saw him against the Timberwolves a couple times. And he didn't have outstanding performances, but I liked kind of the process of how he played. The confidence was on full display all season long. One of the greenest lights in the league. The passing concerns from Villanova kind of carried over as
right.
the raw assist numbers are under one a game, but assist rate of 5.6%, ranked in the 12th percentile. His assist to usage ratio was 0.24, which was the 0 percentile. So he's a shooter. But when you're that athletic, and if he ends up shooting, like I think he eventually will, I think the Rockets found a really fun, athletic, versatile off-ball scorer. And that's the role that he was put into this year of rebound, get out in transition, use your athleticism, and be a play finisher. They have some really fun creators and playmakers with Amen Thompson, Şengün, Fred VanVleet, and Whitmore just needed to be able to play off of them and be that play finisher, which for most of the season, he really was. When we look at his shooting, 38% on above the break threes, 76th percentile. That's really good, especially for a rookie. And those were about 35% of his shots. So it wasn't just low volume. The bulk of a high percentage of his overall shot attempts came from above the break threes. The at the rim stuff was kind of shockingly low, 60% at the rim, 26th percentile, but 87th percentile spotting up, 96th percentile shooting off the catch when left open. I think he's going to be a real shooter. And if he ever, you know, develops any sort of passing or whatever, I'm not sure he needs to, but he's looking like a really fun, just off ball piece for that team.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think you put it at the end. Everyone wants to fascinate about his playmaking or his assist numbers. I don't think that's what he's going to have to be with this team. They have the playmakers. They have those guys to put him in position. I think he needs to be a floor spacing wing who, like, here, I was going to ask you this later. In terms of adding to his game this offseason, would you rather him be like, I'm going to lock in to become a defensive threat? Or would you rather him work on adding offensive versatility when it comes to counters creation? Because I almost think that team, if it, that team's going to get good in a hurry, and you're going to have to fight for minutes. And we all know Udoka is going to want to play guys that bring it on defense. So I almost think there's a priority there of like, hey, if you really zone in on trying to improve as a defender, that'll keep you on the court. But if Whitmore starts to add a little bit more to his bag and create his own shot and doesn't just have to take threes, I think then you're cooking with something. So it's an interesting little one. And people could be like, why not both? And it's like, that's a great question. Why not both? Because I do think there's a really good path for him to become a problem.
Yeah.
And I think he took strides this year with the outside shot becoming a more consistent weapon. And now it's just, can you slowly start adding pieces to the puzzle?
I would probably lean towards the defensive end of the floor, especially with that coach. He's, you know, a tough defensive first guy. So if you're looking for minutes, and, you know, Dirty Dancer in the comments mentioning Tari Eason was out for most of the year, if you're looking for minutes, you're going to have to defend. And, you know, Whitmore's defensive playmaking was pretty solid this year. 0.9 block rate, 61st percentile, 1.3 steal rate, 64th percentile. And, you know, that speaks to his athleticism and how he can leverage that. But the off-ball consistency, the fundamental stuff, it wasn't always there. He was, you know, one-on-one kind of isolation where he can use that athleticism and physicality. He was solid, but just the overall defensive consistency just needs work, like it does for basically every rookie ever. But I was really encouraged with his defense. But if he can take that up to another level and really be a big time defender that they can slot in with Van Vliet and Brooks and Jabari and Tari and Amen, now you're looking at a team full of really athletic, really versatile defenders, and you add in his threat shooting off the catch. His catch and shoot numbers were awesome this year. So I don't think he needs to be an on-ball creator, an on-ball scorer, because they have those guys in Jalen Green and Amen and Şengün and Van Vliet, where the ball's going to run through those guys for the bulk of their possessions. But can Whitmore be that consistent play finisher? Can he be that outlet when the defense collapses on them, when a double gets sent and the ball skips to him in the corner? Can he be that reliable play finisher and knock down threes consistently? And he did this year. Yeah. And I think he's going forward. And then, so yeah, when you think about him as that kind of defensive playmaker and then improving those fundamentals, that consistency with his really impressive rebounding numbers, with his really impressive off the ball shooting, that's like, oh my goodness, you got this guy at 20? Like, right. What are we doing? There's a really, really fun and really quick path for him to be very fun.
And I'll be interested. I mean, I don't have intel about it right now, but I would be interested if that was the plan for Houston early on. Like, Cam, you're young. This is what we want from you the rookie year. And we'll keep adding a little bit to your game and if he can be that outlet, because that's like, everyone wants you to unlock more stuff and take this humongous leap your second year in the league. Because if you have that expectations, that upside, we get it. Like, fans get excited, but I don't think that team needs this. I think that team needs him to be that outlet because they have all that playmaking. They have scoring. They have, you know, Şengün, Amen. Like, you just need to be, like Metcalf said, an outlet. You need to be a catch and shoot guy. You need to be able to play good defense. And we also got to remember, they have all of these pieces on this roster. They're going to have a top 10 pick. Like, they're also going to be adding another guy to the mix. So it's, you got to see the long road ahead for Whitmore. And I think if Houston gets him to buy in and you're smart and you're patient, then we could look up in a couple of years and be like, "Ooh, he is becoming something," because we're seeing the offense now. Like, the offense is going to be there. He's going to be able to lean on that. The shot gets a little bit better next year. If he buys in defensively, he's going to be on the court because he's a big dude. He's a big boy. Like, so I'm excited for his development. I think he landed in a great spot with Houston. that has a plan, and they're going to be patient with unlocking the tools.
Yeah, and I think with him specifically, I think that long-term view is how quickly can he take over those Dylan Brooks minutes? Because, you know, Brooks is an incredible defender, which is going to give him the starting spot. But the shooting, we all know the shooting comes and goes. And if you can kind of replace Whitmore or replace Brooks with Whitmore, things become really interesting. When we look at some of Whitmore's advanced numbers and lineup data wasn't outstanding this year, but through injuries they had to run a lot of kind of funky lineups out there. So Whitmore's most frequent five-man lineup consisted of him, Holiday, Amen, Jeff Green, and Jabari. Funky lineup, no real, just inconsistency and holes everywhere. A minus 12.3 net rating with an effective field goal rate of 44.7. Not great. His second most frequent lineup was basically him in place of Brooks with the starters. So 61 possessions of Van Vliet, Whitmore, Jalen Green, Jabari, and Şengün. Plus 21.3 net rating, 52.5 effective field goal rate, and 100 defensive rating. Smaller sample size, I know only 61 possessions, but that's encouraging because that's the role, that's the outlook of what I'm assuming of what the Rockets are thinking with him and inserting him into that lineup as the two or three.
Completely agree. I just, they got one. And they got two. They got a man and they got him. And it's just one of those things where now we're like, okay, you guys showed something your rookie year. What's next? And this is what I tell people all the time. Like, Summer League, everyone gets excited about the rookies. I want to see the second year guys. I want to see what you've been working on. I want to see if you're ready to take that next step. And Whitmore is going to be at the top of my list of, like, I want to see how things are moving along. And I do think there is a great path in which Metcalf just hinted, like, there's your Dylan Brooks heir to take over his role and take over his minutes. I mean, what a fun one that would be if you have that athleticism, because it's always a good point too. Like, you can be a freak of nature athlete. Eventually that's going to catch up. Eventually you're going to, you know, the plane's going to get grounded. So you got to be able to add other parts of your game to extend your career. And Whitmore's just a bad dude. I love him at Villanova. I still think very, very highly of his upside. So I'm excited to see what he looks like in year two.
Totally agree. He his case with his draft stock and landing spot and all that was a little funky. But is there anything with Whitmore's rookie year that we, and, you know, draft process that we can apply to this year that we can learn from and potentially not make that kind of same type of error this year?
I mean, I don't think it was it an error for us. I'm not trying to pat us on the back, but I mean, we had him in our top five.
Yeah,
we loved them, but then we also found out why he was slipping, and we were like, oh, this is the one this year, because it happens every year. And I was just like, this is gonna suck, and it happened, and he ended up in a great spot, but.
So let me kind of reframe that then. And instead of, because we liked him, we thought he was going
to
be good.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to say, but, like, we know everything. I'm just saying we liked him. A lot of people liked him.
Instead, is there anyone who would be kind of your top candidates who might bewilderingly experience something similar where everyone in the draft space kind of seems to like him, but come draft night, they start to tumble a little bit?
I'm smiling like the Joker because I've been waiting a week for this question. Ron Holland. And I don't need people. Everyone's going to flip a desk and you're going to get pissed. I'm just saying. There's a lot of similarities. A lot of similarities. He's a fan favorite. When you talk to draft fans, everyone loves Ron Holland. Similar playing styles. The inconsistent shot from outside, a very dangerous human being in transition, can live above the rim, can dunk on you with anger, plays hard. Some defensive inconsistencies, some defensive flashes that impress you. They're both extremely young when they're in the draft class. People have wanted to say, hey, the Ignite and the college, you can't compare them. And I'm like, well, I just did. So I think you can compare them because they're two different situations, but the player same role, same strengths, same really long road ahead. Like, I think whoever, I still believe in Holland. I got him in my top 10. So everyone put your pitchforks down. I still believe, but I do believe if Holland goes a little later, just like Whitmore, it could be for the best for both parties because he might land in a better situation. And there's still some teams in the top 10 that I think could be very interesting Holland fit. So what about you?
I think that's a really good one because when you look at kind of some of the concerns with the lack of passing and the decision-making and just kind of all around play style there, it's kind of creepy how similar they are. Whitmore was a little more, I think, explosive and stronger and bulkier and has a much thicker frame than Holland, but that same kind of recklessness and high energy and uber athleticism in their play style is really similar. And everything we've heard is there are very polarizing views on Holland across the league. So
we've heard those polarizing, and I've confirmed with other people that they don't believe. So right. That's how crazy it's gotten. Is some are like, no, I'm still in. And some are like, I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, guys, figure it out. Can we have a meeting and kind of talk this out? Because I think talk it out. I think you hinted at, like, they're both very similar. I think Cam has more power, raw power, and I think Holland's got more like breakaway speed. Like he could get going quick.
He might be the fastest player.
It's like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I am still buying because I think someone could say this is the long term view. Maybe Utah, maybe someone like that that's just like, we're being patient. But you know, I put up a blind thing on social media of comparing their stats. And I said, this is player A, player B. And everyone was like, oh, it's player B. I'd take him. And it was Ron Holland. And then I showed who it was. And a lot of people were like, oh, I would have taken Whitmore. It's like, well, see, that's what we got to compare. And I get it because Holland has the tools. If you see it and you're buying, I get it. I understand why people are such a high fan and why people are so high on him. But I do think it could be an interesting path to kind of compare them because maybe they could be similar stories on draft night, but maybe also Holland, you know, all it takes is one team.
Completely agree. Okay. Let's wrap up real quick with the green room.
What an episode.
I told you we had a full slate. All right. Green room, most exclusive club in the draft world. Max is out at 14 players. We still haven't gotten to 14. We've been updating all year. Currently in there, we have Jacoby Walter, Alex Saar, Ron Holland, Stephen Castle, Zachary Risacher, Nikola Topic, Cody Williams, Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, Dalton Knecht, and Jared McCain. The entry requirements are mostly based on vibes. This is not our lottery rankings. It's vibes, it's prestige, it's potential. Oh, also in line, we have Johnny Furphy, Bub Carrington, Tyler Kolek, Dylan Jones, Donovan Klingon, Devin Carter, Matis Buzelis. Where do you want to start? Anyone you want to kick out?
Is Cody still in there? I don't know.
Where do you have him right now?
You don't want to know.
Ooh, that cold. Okay.
13.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I moved him back up. I'm buying the injury. I'm also buying that's the project I'd swing on.
Yeah.
That's the project I'd want. Klingon needs to be back in.
Yeah, I agree. He's 100%.
He rehabbed. He came back in. He got 100%. We only took him out for everyone that's like, whoa, why was he in? We only took him out because he was hurt when we took him out. But it's been a minute. We had to update the green room. So I think Klingon's in. What about you? Do you have?
Yeah, I'm all in on Klingon being in.
Do you have anybody else? We should get one more in and then.
Yeah.
Do we need to nominate someone for the line or we just get one more in?
Both.
Okay.
Who do you want to add to line?
Just Jalen Tyson.
It's tough. Okay. He can.
They could be a line. Good line. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Good line guy.
Oh God. I know he's probably never going to get in, but can I nominate AJ Johnson for the line?
6'5" AJ Johnson or reported 6'7"?
I'm going with 6'7", 180-pound AJ Johnson.
There's a little hint for everyone listening. 6'7" AJ can get in line. I'm in. Fine. Well, I'm doing it. Lord, do it. This is vibes. AJ went overseas.
Line. It's just line.
It's just line. He's just in line. He's you know what?
God, he's going to kill workouts.
He's like, hey, I've never gotten into this place. I'm just feeling dangerous tonight. I'm going to go wait in line and see what happens. Like, I get it. I like that. Okay. AJ's in. I mean, also world traveled, been overseas. I like it. I like it. Any guy that withdraws from Texas to go play in Australia, worthy of the line. Because he wanted to be cultured.
Okay, I'm going to nominate someone to not go in line, but to just walk right in. Tristan Da Silva.
He's in. Yes. The easiest in 2 years of doing the green room. This is the second year. The easiest yes I've ever agreed with on that cap. That is a Mr. Da Silva, great to see you. Come right on in. And someone, whoever's first in line, probably Bub, is like, why did he get in so early? Perfect. Easily. Wow, he wasn't in line already?
No, I know.
Love him.
That was a mistake.
That's a good one.
Okay, cool.
We've got two Buffaloes.
We do. Ooh. Maybe not.
Might get crowded.
Only one spot left. We'll update it next week. But
that's going to be ambitious.
Rucker, this was a blast. As always, he is Tyler Rucker. You can follow him at Tyler_Rucker. I'm Tyler Metcalf. You can follow me at TMetcalf11. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and 5-star rating. Until next time, see ya.